This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, we hear from Democratic State House candidate Annie Brown. She's running in the district that includes Van Buren County and Northwest Kalamazoo County. But first, Paul Clements is a Western Michigan University political science professor. He's also the Democratic nominee in Michigan's 6th Congressional District, which includes Southwest Michigan, and is currently represented by Republican Fred Upton. Paul Clements, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, Gordon. My pleasure.
We're also joined today by Kalamazoo Gazette reporter Alex Mitchell.
Thanks for having me, Gordon.
Paul Clements, why don't you begin by telling the audience a little bit more about yourself and what you would like to do if you're elected to Congress?
Sure. Well, as you mentioned, I've been teaching at Western Michigan University. I teach national economic development strategies, also about how you can get more value for money from public and nonprofit programs. We have two daughters, Kalamazoo Public Schools. My wife is a librarian. I've been very involved in the faith community here. I'm a runner. I like to swim. I did a few sprint triathlons in the years before starting my congressional campaign. Now I just run for Congress. You know, in living here for 18 years, it seems as though, and I'll say also as I'm teaching national economic development strategies, it seems as though the direction we're going as a country is not working for the middle class. It's not working for the kind of robust, inclusive economy that we could have moving forward. And part of the reason for that is that our Congress isn't working, and our Congressman Fred Upton, who used to be kind of a moderate, seems to have really moved towards going more towards what he needs for his own career than what we need for Southwest Michigan and for this country. And, you know, we need a Congress that works to solve the problems, the challenges we face as a country. Our congressman has become part of the problem, and that's why I decided to run for Congress.
Let me begin with a question as we speak on Thursday morning about something passed by the House just last night about authorizing Syrian rebels. This is in response to the Islamic State and many of the problems that are going on in that part of the world.
Sure.
Broadly speaking, though, if you were a member of Congress, what is your litmus test for approving sending U.S. troops in, which is not what's going on here, or even for arming rebels in other countries or sending military support for other countries? What would be the criteria that you would have for approving any of that?
Sure. Well, the first thing is that I do think that our military, we've been sending troops into the field of battle too easily in the last decade. And I've expressed concerns about that many times in the last 10 years. And so I do think we need to be just more cautious about that. That being said, it's also very clear that this ISIL, the so-called Islamic State, which is not Islamic and is not a state, they do represent a really incredible threat. They have kind of a medieval outlook. And I think we absolutely do need to be working with our allies, with the other countries of the region, to address the challenge that poses. And so if arming the relatively independent, the relatively moderate groups in Syria can help to do that, and I don't have access to all the classified information, but I think that should be on the table.
Alex?
Paul, one of your recent campaign ads states that no new renewable energy jobs have been announced in Southwest Michigan in 2014, and that's something you've been critical about, Congressman Upton, for not attracting those kind of jobs. What kind of opportunity for those jobs do you see in this area?
You know, there is incredible opportunity in this area for all kinds of manufacturing. I do think that we need to see it as part of the broader national strategy. Congressman Upton is chair of the House Energy and Commerce Committee, and what he has called an all-of-the-above energy strategy turns out to look like subsidizing coal and petroleum and other polluting industries and blocking the kind of investments and forward-looking strategies that would support the industries that will have more jobs, that'll be higher tech, that'll be better for building manufacturing in the future. I've been teaching national economic development strategies for 18 years. And what we know is that the good-paying manufacturing jobs are on the technological forefront. So we need to be looking forward and to see where are the areas where there's going to be greater demand for high-tech industry in the future. And clean energy is clearly one of those. So we need to be supporting an economy that that moves forward towards those good-paying, high-tech, middle-class manufacturing jobs.
And would you consider nuclear energy something that you'd like to promote jobs for, or would you rather move away more towards renewable?
You know, if you look around the country, every time they've tried to start a new nuclear plant in the last decade, they found that it's just way too expensive. They'll start off with a certain budget, and then they'll look back 5 years later and, oh my goodness, now it's four times as much, and they're going to be saddling the taxpayers with that. So it seems to me that just on the basis of cost effectiveness, that nuclear doesn't really seem to be the answer.
Could we provide the energy needed right now to meet America's demand with renewables, or are we still bridging that gap and still getting to the point where renewables could provide enough energy for the demand that we currently have?
Yeah, very clearly, we could not move there tomorrow. Very clearly, it's a process. It's a long-term process. And I would expect it to take several decades, not even just several years. But the point is that countries like Germany are moving forward quickly, and they're moving forward in a way that will allow their industry to serve the world, to be exporting to the world for these higher tech, clean energy, cost-effective technologies. And we're behind. So we do need to be moving forward more rapidly on this.
So what do you do in the interim? Is it more drilling for oil? Is it more natural gas? If you're going to get to that point where decades later you can use solar, wind, etc.?
There are a variety of strategies. It looks as though, from the current science, it looks as though natural gas could very well be a good interim fuel, a transition fuel. There are some questions about the methane release that could be more of a serious pollution problem than we've quite understood so far. But if that's not the case, then certainly it seems to me as though natural gas is probably the best transition fuel as we ramp up solar and wind and other renewables.
Which, of course, leads to the question of fracking.
Yes.
You know, what do we do about the concerns about fracking if natural gas is the way to get us to that ultimate place of renewable energy?
And this gets back to where one of the areas where I think Congress just isn't working. And that is that you may recall when Vice President Cheney, as fracking was getting started, he pushed a proposal through so the Clean Water Act wouldn't apply to fracking. And so we move forward so quickly without the normal regulation, without the normal controls and exploration of potential harms from fracking. And so I am concerned that the safety concerns for our water table, for pollution above the ground, for any kinds of other forms of pollution from fracking, that we're not really 100% on top of those. It does look as though it could be a way to move forward, but I think we need to be a little more careful about what we're doing with our groundwater and with pollution from fracking as we move forward.
But you're not totally against fracking? You think it can be done?
From what I know right now, I'm not in a position to... I certainly am not in favor of banning fracking today.
This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. We're speaking with Western Michigan University political science professor Paul Clements, who is the Democratic nominee in Michigan's 6th Congressional District. That includes Southwest Michigan, currently represented by Republican Fred Upton. Also joined today by Kalamazoo Gazette reporter Alex Mitchell. Alex.
You've talked in your campaign about two of your priorities being expanding financial aid and increasing student loans for college students. What opportunities do you see to be able to get this done, and how would you go about it?
You know, after the 2008 economic collapse, the crash that led us into this most recent recession, our government did a very kind set of deals for the banks. And we haven't been prepared to do that same kind of thing for our own college students. The banks have been getting loans at a quarter of a percent of interest, and that has allowed them to grow back into these behemoths. We now have four banks that have assets equal to 60% of our economy, that basically have this implicit insurance system because they know they're going to get bailed out if they crash the economy again. Whereas our students, many of our students in college, in my classes, they're paying 6, 7, 8, 9% for their student loans. I think that we've had a government that has encouraged, that have supported banks to make profits off loans to students. Which has been excessive, that I think it could come back under the government, that I think is plausible to cover the cost, the long-term cost of those student loans. I believe we can get it down to the area of about 3% under a government-organized program. That we don't need to see these big banks profiting from student loans the way it's been in recent years.
You have made net neutrality an issue in this campaign. Explain net neutrality for people who haven't followed this closely and why you think it's important.
Sure. The internet, as it's evolved today, up until today, has been free for everyone. It's been equal for everyone, and there have been millions of new startups that have got it started through that free, open, equal internet. There have been proposals on the table to change that, to give a so-called fast track, so established wealthy corporations can get their product onto your computer screen quickly, give it an advantage over anybody else. That's the challenge that we face today. Net neutrality says that's a mistake. Net neutrality says let's keep the internet as an even playing field so a startup, an entrepreneur, can get their material to you just as easily, just as quickly as Netflix or as a big corporation. Now, I know that Fred Upton, my opponent, he has been very sympathetic to some of these ideas for fast track. We seem to have a different opinion on this. But I think that if we want to look at where the jobs are going to come from, you know, new jobs are going to come from startups, but not if the startups don't have an even playing field with the established corporations. So this is a jobs issue, it's a fairness issue, and I certainly do stand for net neutrality.
Alex.
Sticking with the discussion surrounding the internet for a moment, would you support a sales or a use tax on purchases on the internet?
I think that we need to have fairness here. And if you are going to have to pay a sales tax at a place that you walk into, that you need to have a sales tax on if you buy it over the internet.
You are taking on a long-term incumbent in Congress. Fred Upton's now been there about 28 years. It is rare for incumbents to lose, period, in the U.S. House. So why should we believe, as we sit here and talk to you in September, that we're going to wake up on November 5th and find out that this time it turned out differently?
You know, I've been on the campaign trail for a year and a half, and what I hear more often than anything is, you know, Congressman Upton, he's changed. Years ago, he was kind of a moderate, but he seems to have just gone so much in the direction of his own career. I mean, some of the votes we've already talked about. If you look at the statistics, he's lined up more and more with his own party, up to 96% in the last year. He's no longer representing the people of Southwest Michigan. He doesn't have a positive vision for how we can grow our economy. He's part of what's become a broken Congress, and I think that the voters are figuring this out.
2012 was a pretty good Democratic year, and Congressman Upton was in a pretty tight race. 2014, as we sit and talk now, doesn't look like it's going to be that sort of year for the Democrats. It's hard to say, but probably not that strong. So I'm wondering, are you going to have less of a tailwind than the challenger in 2012 had, Mike O'Brien?
You know, part of the challenge is that we really haven't had a Democratic campaign that's at a national standard. That Mike O'Brien was a good candidate, but he only started 6 months before the election, and he didn't get together the kind of resources that it takes to run an effective campaign in our current politics. I did start my campaign a year and a half ago. We have not just broken the record for Democratic fundraising, but we've more than doubled it through 98% individual contributions, overwhelmingly from within the district. So we're running a serious professional campaign to let people know who I am, what I stand for, to hold Congressman Upton accountable for the bad decisions that he's made. And we haven't seen that before now. So I'm optimistic.
Paul Clements, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Paul Clements is a Western Michigan University political science professor. He is the Democratic nominee in Michigan's 6th Congressional District that includes Southwest Michigan and is currently represented by Republican Fred Upton. And thanks again to Kalamazoo Gazette reporter Alex Mitchell.
Thanks, Gordon.